The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The September jobs report shows strong hiring, but some cooling in the labor market.
To the extent that we see slowing, this is the way the Fed wants to see it, with slightly declining job growth numbers and a perhaps slightly increasing unemployment rate over the next several months, but nothing that gets too high.
And what sent shares of Credit Suisse up today? Plus, why streaming services are turning to a playbook from cable TV. It's Friday, October 7th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. stocks fell today after the release of the September jobs report on concerns that the Federal Reserve will move ahead with another big interest rate hike next month. The Labor Department said U.S. employers added 263,000 jobs in September, and the unemployment rate fell to 3.5%. Wage gains and the workforce participation rate slowed. The latest report shows signs that the pace of hiring is slowing, even though the headline numbers are still strong. All three major indexes ended the day with losses. The Dow was down more than 600 points, or 2.1%. The S&P 500 lost 2.8%, and the Nasdaq fell 3.8%. Despite those losses, all the indexes ended the week with gains. In just a few minutes, we'll talk more about the jobs report and what it means for the Fed. Credit Suisse announced a surprise $3 billion bond buyback today, sending rebounding shares up even higher. Investors view the move as a show of force and a way for the bank to profit off of its recent troubles. Shares and debt had sold off in recent weeks on concerns about the Swiss lender's financial health. Its stock price closed the day up 13%. Meanwhile, we report exclusively that the bank is taking other steps to shore up its finances. According to people familiar with the matter, Credit Suisse has been moving to sell or shrink its holdings and has gotten offers for its securitized products group from about 10 bidders, including Sixth Street Partners, Centerbridge Partners, and Apollo Global Management. Credit Suisse executives are expected to give a strategy update on their plans later this month. The U.S. has expanded a list of export restrictions on advanced semiconductors and chip manufacturing equipment. Senior officials say that's to prevent the technology, which can be used in modern weapons systems, from getting into the hands of Chinese entities believed to be working against U.S. national security interests. Our semiconductors reporter Asa Fitch explains.
Chips, of course, are the pillar of modern economies. They're also a huge factor in military development. Advanced chips go into missile systems and nuclear weapons and things like that. So the U.S. making this move is pretty significant in a number of ways, both politically and technologically and economically.
The new action requires chipmakers to get a license from the Commerce Department to export advanced chips and chipmaking equipment. And President Biden warns that the risk of a nuclear conflict is at its highest since the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. At a Democratic fundraiser last night, Biden said Russian President Vladimir Putin, quote, wasn't joking when he threatened the use of nuclear strikes to escalate the war in Ukraine. In recent days, the White House and Pentagon have repeatedly said they've seen no imminent preparations by Putin to use nuclear weapons, describing his remarks as saber-rattling. Meanwhile, Ukraine warns that Russian forces are using Iranian drones to strike deep into Ukrainian territory, challenging Kyiv's push against Russia in the south and east. The Kremlin has denied reports that Iran has supplied it with drones. Iran's foreign ministry has also denied the reports, according to Iran's official news agency. Coming up, a strong jobs report sends stocks lower on concerns about the Fed's plans for the months ahead. What the latest data could mean for interest rates after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The U.S. labor market has now seen 21 straight months of job gains. The latest jobs report shows strong hiring, but a gradual cool down that's likely to keep the Federal Reserve on track to continue raising interest rates to keep the economy from overheating. So, how well is the Fed's plan working? And what do the latest numbers tell us about what it's like out there for workers? Joining me now to discuss is Wall Street Journal national economics reporter Gabe Rubin. Hi, Gabe. Thanks for joining me.
It's great to be here.
So, Gabe, the labor market does appear to be cooling, albeit very slowly. That's part of the Federal Reserve's goal by raising interest rates. But is that plan moving fast enough?
So the Fed is probably pretty encouraged by this report because it sees wage growth slowing and it sees employment gains slowing overall, even though we remain in a very tight labor market. But in terms of a sort of first step, this is pretty good.
So let's peel some of those pieces out. We saw in data out this week that the number of U.S. job openings fell in August by 10%. The jobs report out today shows the labor force participation rate, which is those working or looking for work, dipped a bit in September. Can you parse those 2 points for us?
Yeah, so one of those is going to be really well received at the Fed, and one of those is going to be not so well received. So the lower job openings, as you said, they dropped by about 10%. And that is key to the Fed lowering labor demand. Employers are looking for fewer workers. They're still looking for a ton of workers, and there's still a big mismatch, but it's moving in the right direction. And Jerome Powell, the Fed chairman, has said repeatedly that he wants the ratio of job vacancies, job openings, to the number of people looking for work to go down significantly from its very high level of around 2-to-1. Now we're closer to 1.8-to-1, which is still very high, but closer to what the Fed wants. For labor force participation, it's slightly worse news because though we saw an increase in labor force participation in August, we saw a slight dip in September. And that was largely caused by women leaving the workforce, which is a big problem going forward.
And Gabe, what are the factors behind that, more women leaving the workforce?
So if you look at another survey that's put out by the Census Bureau, you see that 4.8 million people, most of whom economists say are women, were out of the workforce in the past couple of weeks because they were caring for a child who is not in daycare or in school. Another 1.7 million people were out of work because they were caring for an elderly person. So those two factors, combined with other lingering impacts of the pandemic, are keeping a lot of women and a lot of other workers as well out of the workforce, and that is keeping labor force participation overall down.
Let's talk about wage growth. What does the latest report tell us? We've seen in previous months that wage growth has been pretty outpaced by inflation so far.
Yeah, so it continues to be outpaced by inflation. But in terms of wages and their impact on inflation, the Fed is actually probably pretty happy with this report because it showed a continued slowing in the growth of wages. So last month, we saw a 0.3% gain month over month. And that was actually the same as what we saw in August. And that is closer to what the Fed wants to see to have it meet its inflation target of 2% annually. It's not quite there, but it's moving in the right direction. And it's slower than the annual rate from this past year, which is around 5%.
What else stood out to you in the September jobs report in elucidating where the economy stands right now in terms of recovery from the pandemic?
There was a lot of cautious optimism from economists today after seeing this report that we are still cautiously on track for what the Fed calls a soft landing. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. We will likely still see unemployment rise in the coming months. But if the Fed wanted to see the conditions that would support a soft landing, slower but still robust job growth and slightly slower wage growth are two things that they were really looking for on top of the lower job openings number that we saw earlier this week.
So fair to say the Fed remains on track for its plans for the rest of the year at this point?
Yes. I don't think this changes the Fed's plans to continue to raise rates. I think we can still expect a 75 basis points raise at their next meeting. And this generally keeps them on target. But it doesn't mean that they have to do more work in the interim because their current plan appears to be working so far.
Gabe, we are now already in the final few months of the year. What can you tell us about what you're hearing about the expectations for the months ahead?
We should expect the labor market to continue loosening. We will likely see a rise in unemployment at some point. Many economists expect it to go over 4% in the next several months. But just as a reminder, if some people think that we're in a recession, the continued robust job numbers and even an unemployment rate that is over 4% are not recessionary conditions. Certainly not what we saw in the Great Recession in 2007 to 2009, when unemployment went well over 8% and stayed there, unfortunately, for a while. So to the extent that we see slowing, this is the way the Fed wants to see it, with slightly declining job growth numbers and a perhaps slightly increasing unemployment rate over the next several months, but nothing that gets too high.
That's Wall Street Journal national economics reporter Gabe Rubin. Gabe, thanks so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And finally, a lot of people who have cut the cord on cable TV in recent years did so because they didn't want to pay for a bundle of channels they just weren't watching. But now many of us are shelling out for several different streaming services, and the costs are adding up. According to CNR Research, consumers are spending an average of $219 a month on subscriptions, including cable and satellite TV. Now, streaming services are hoping to prevent people from canceling by turning to a familiar tactic. Our deputy media editor, Jessica Tongel, says the great rebundling is upon us.
There were things about the cable bundle that people appreciated. What people hated was spending over $100 on a lot of shows and channels that they never watched. But the simplicity of bringing a few services together, which is what this new era of streaming bundles is trying to do, is they're not trying to bring 100 things together. They're trying to bring like two or three things that might make sense to you at a discount together to see if you'll watch it.
For those keeping track, Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus have combined their services. Paramount Plus may be combining libraries with Showtime. And thanks to a merger between the companies, content from Discovery Plus is now available on HBO Max. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Peter Granitz, filling in for Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Anthony Bansi and Kate Bullivant, with help from Mohsen Ali, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Jenny Ang, Michael Kosmides, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.